Jamie and Locker with you here on this Tuesday afternoon on the Green Zone. They are, well, 2,000 tickets left. Over 30,000 sold for Saturday's game. The Riders and the Hamilton Tiger Cats tracking towards the first sellout of the year at Mosaic Stadium for the Riders. It's already been announced the Labor Day game has been sold out against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
But this one's going to be the first game to sell out. It's on the board. Jamie and I, it is on the board.
And if it doesn't sell out, Locker will dye his goatee jet black, Steven Seagal-esque. We'll see.
Some people were
I think they'll announce it Thursday. I bet you Thursday they announce a sellout.
Okay. Some people were suggesting that maybe I should have gone with like a green or something, but no. Black's better.
Let's get, speaking of sellouts, it was a sold out crowd for SGA night in Hamilton, the Tiger Cats. The voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Rick Zamperin, is joining us here on the Green Zone. Rick, did the Hamilton Tiger Cat fans tell Luke Wilson, notify him that there was a sold out crowd in Hamilton weekend?
Gentlemen, honor and a privilege to be on the show once again. I'm sure Luke heard that loud and clear. I think he was betting a couple of fans as well that, listen,
yeah,
the Ticats sell out, I'll give you some game-worn gloves, and if they don't, then the Ticats deserve his illustrious dead-last ranking in the CFL in terms of fandom. But, man, oh, man, the fans came out, and they were loud, they were proud, and fortunately, at the end of the night, did not transpire into a W, but they had a lot of fun, I can tell you that.
Since we're on it, the Luke Wilson conversation, were there any celebrations in Hamilton when Luke announced yesterday that he was going to take a break from tweeting about the CFL?
If there was, I don't know about them, that's for sure. But listen, he's stirred the pot. He's creating conversation from that standpoint. It's great. You know, the tact might be a little off as far as I'm concerned, but hey. He's getting paid to do a job, and he's doing it on his terms, I guess.
Of course, here in Saskatchewan, we're talking about this matchup being a potential Grey Cup preview. Rick, how hyped is this game getting in Hamilton?
Yeah, it's big time hype. You know, especially with this team being still in first place in the East Division at the midway point of the year, drastically different where this team was last year at this time. That's for sure. They were looking for answers. They were looking for a spark. They were looking for improvement after a brutal start to the campaign, and this year has been almost the complete opposite. I mean, a lot of the personnel is the same, but they're just winning the ball games that they just ended up losing for one reason or another last season. But, you know, exceptional play from Bo Levi Mitchell. The addition of Kenny Lawler has been fantastic. The defense has been, you know, way better than it was last year. Special teams has been amazing. The coaching staff, from last year to this year, there's not many changes apart from Brett Monson coming on board. So it's a well-oiled machine, and they're getting the W's this year that they didn't last year. And I think that has created a lot of excitement in Steeltown. I don't know if the fans are sold on, you know, this is going to be the year. There's some that are in that boat for sure, but there are those, and you guys have come across these fans that are the internal pessimists that, you know, something is going to go wrong.
Oh, we don't see any of those in the CFL, Rick.
Yeah, we have our bunch of those as well. But I think cautiously optimistic is the right term to use.
So, Rick, you brought up Kenny. So let's stay there for just a second. Just based on the last couple of games, it looks like teams have been focusing a little more of their attention on Kenny and double-teaming him, which means Bo's had to move the ball around. Has there been a target? Has there been somebody else that has sort of stepped into that role and taken, become maybe one of Bo's favorite targets?
Yeah, you are right. Lawler has been double teamed. It happened a few weeks ago where teams were like, listen, we can't let this guy beat us because he's beating every other team so badly with 100 plus yards and, you know, multiple receptions, big time touchdowns.
Yeah.
So defenses started to tweak, as defenses will. They got to take away, you know, the biggest weapon. But Bo Levi has found in back to back games, Keandre Smith, who had 138 receiving yards in back to back games, he scored, I think it's 4 touchdowns in the last 5 games. Tim White has had some exceptional performances as well. The run game is slowly starting to get there. So if they can add that phase and get to an elite level in terms of running the football or even catching it out of the backfield, I think that'll be another weapon that Mitchell can take advantage of. But Kenny still remains the big target for both the offense and the defense. But when he's not getting the ball, those other guys are making plays. So that's a great sign.
Rick Zamperin joining us, the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, to get you set for the Family Day game, nearing a sellout for the Tiger Cats and the Riders is the best team in the East to take on the best team in the CFL, the 7-1 Riders. Focusing in on Bo, it was almost 365 days ago, almost exactly, when he lost the starter's job for a week.
Yeah, he got benched.
Because Taylor Powell got injured. What flipped? Or was it that knock to the ego for Bo Levi Mitchell? When he gets the ball back, he hasn't looked back, and he's been MOP caliber at the back half of last year and definitely at the start of this season.
Yeah, I would say without a doubt, I mean, in my opinion, which might be just a little biased because I'm around him more often than any other quarterback, that's for sure, it is that he's been the best quarterback in the league, bar none, since he got benched. And it was, I wouldn't say it was weird at the time, because I don't think many people at that point in time, at least in Hamilton, thought, okay, this is the wrong move, because he was turning the ball over. They were, you know, 2-whatever at that standpoint, and things just were not progressing the way that head coach Scott Milanovic wanted them to progress. And let's not forget that Milanovic is also the offensive coordinator, so he's in the quarterback's ear all the time. And so when that happened, we thought, okay, this kind of makes sense. You know, Taylor Powell is the presumed next guy to take the torch in Hamilton. And then he gets hurt in his first start, and Bo's back in there. And, you know, he has a great game, but, you know, the losses continue to mount at the end of the day, or at the end of the season. They had too many losses and didn't qualify for the playoffs. But Bo in the offense was way better in the second half last year than it was in the first half. And then throughout this season, it has been exceptionally well, you know, leading the league in touchdowns and yards and all the, you know, the fancy stats. I think, you know, I asked him at the time, and I even asked him late last year that, you know, what was it that propelled you into being the old Bo, quote unquote? And he basically, and I'm paraphrasing, said that, listen, this was a gut check. This was a, okay, you know what, this happened in Calgary with Jake Mayer taking over with the Stampeders, and now at 35 years of age, this is happening again. I think when he got that other opportunity, when Taylor Powell went down, that he knew that this was his time. This might have been his last shot at, you know, leading a team to not only the playoffs, but the Grey Cup. And I think he took it as a personal challenge to say, all right, I'm giving it my all. And ever since then, he has been, you know, the future Hall of Famer that we all saw, you know, years ago in Calgary.
So our discussion today, and we'll take your bias into consideration here, Rick, is going to be revolving around who's your MOP. If we're handing that out right now in the CFL, who is it? Is it Bo or Trevor, or is it somebody else? Are you giving it to Bo ahead of Trevor right now?
I'm giving it to Bo ahead of Trevor, yes. I think Saskatchewan overall has a better team in terms of all three phases of the game, and we're seeing that week in and week out. I think Hamilton's right there. And I think this could be a Grey Cup preview. I'd love to see these two teams battling it out in Winnipeg in November. But I just think the way Bo has, you know, just gotten everybody involved in the offense, the explosive, exciting plays, you know, the 50-plus points against their arch rivals in Toronto. I mean, those are all kind of special moments. And I just think that redemption story, when you're voting at the end of the year, you kind of take that into consideration to say, you know, I think he deserves it. But listen, Trevor Harris is having a phenomenal season as well. And if he won it, I would not be surprised, because he's having a great campaign.
Oh, well, if it is the Tiger Cats and the Rough Riders in the Grey Cup, I think Rider fans would take that. They've had some decent history over the last little bit.
I take that.
Half their championships are actually against the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
And almost vice versa.
2 of 4. Of course. Although in the 60s, let's not talk about the 60s and the Grey Cups in favor of the Hamilton side. But going into this week and this game, of course, Rick, with these two teams, how much do the Tiger Cats learn from week 2? And, like, does that burn them a little bit? On, okay, that would be after that game, they want a stretch of 6 straight wins. Like, they go, we are way better than the team that played the Riders 5-6 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I think even after the week 2 loss, you know, talking to the guys, I think they felt that they were close to getting, you know, victories in both of the first 2 games. I know they lost lopsidedly against the Stampeders, but they were right in it until, a couple of key moments in that game. And same for the game here against the Rough Riders. You know, if you take out, and these are easy to say now, but if you take out the 47-yard touchdown run by A.J. Ouellette, which was absolutely impressive, stiff-arming Deshaun Amos to the ground and, waltzing into the end zone, and then Harris and Keyshawn Johnson picking on Destin Talbert in the fourth quarter to get a remarkable touchdown drive to take the lead and eventually win the game, you take those kind of two moments out of the game, and let's not forget Roland Milligan's pick six for, I think, 64 yards. I mean, those are three huge moments. If those three plays go the Ticats' way, we're talking about maybe the Ticats being 7-2 and Sask being, 6-2. But it's those moments in every game. There's three, four, five plays in a game that will decide who wins and who loses. And on that night, Saskatchewan made the plays when it counted most. So I think there is certainly a resilience in Hamilton. They've staged some crazy comebacks like the game in BC. They've, put the boots to some opponents like they have against the Argonauts, beaten Ottawa already twice. But now they have to prove, I think, to us in the media, the fans, and maybe even to themselves, that they can beat teams with winning records. Yeah, they beat Montreal, but again, they didn't have Davis Alexander. Can they beat the Saskatchewan Roughriders? Can they take on the Stampeders and get the W in a couple weeks' time when they take on them? Those are going to be, I think, the moments going forward that we are going to maybe anoint this Ticats team as a legit Grey Cup contender. I think they're probably ahead of teams like, obviously, Toronto and Ottawa, and certainly a few teams out west, but they got to prove to a lot of people that they can beat, some really good teams as well.
So, Rick, we'll wrap up here with you with a two-part question. So the sellout was, I think, a little bit, SGA kind of got credit, right, for that. But still, it must be nice to see the fans getting behind this team this year. With that key to the city, what does that open up in Hamilton? Is it your garage or anything like that?
I'm sure there is a secret hiding space where all the elite of the elite in Hamilton gather together. But truth be told, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the first individual to receive a key to the city of Hamilton since 1998. And who is the person who got a key to the city in 1998?
Oh, here we
You're
go.
You're never going to guess.
Jamie
You're
loves
Well, hold on,
trivia.
Hold on. Can I guess?
Guess.
Was it a football person?
It was not.
Oh, okay.
It was an athlete, though.
Okay, I'm out. I thought it was going to be like Ron Lancaster or someone like that. But who is it, Rick?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No way!
Yes.
Smash!
Steve Austin was in Hamilton doing a show, and the man at the time,
Scotty the producer, is losing his mind right now.
To give him a key to the city, yeah.
By the way, as speaking of Stone Cold Steve Austin, listen closely on the if Tommy Stevens comes out for a first down, they play the bottle smash sound after the first down for Tommy Stevens at Mosaic Stadium.
That is awesome.
And by the way, Rick, I know, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you were the longtime play-by-play voice of the Tiger Cats back in the old place. You've never done a game in the new place in Regina, have you?
That is correct. No, I've only been accustomed to old Mosaic Stadium, which was a fabulous place.
Okay, but you don't need to bring a pail to catch the rain or any other things dripping in the broadcast well, booth anymore. Like, they've taken care of that stuff.
That sounds like progress.
Yes. Rick, can't wait to see you Saturday. Enjoy the flight.
You got it. Take care, guys.
That is Rick Zamperin, the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats on the Tiger Cats Audio Network. A little bit later on, we're going to pose the question to you. Bo or Trevor? Who's your midseason MOP, most outstanding player in the Canadian Football League? Or maybe you want to go with Nathan Rourke, or maybe you want to go with Vernon Adams Jr. or Kenny Lawler. Let us know on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Thanks to Rick Zamperin for joining us.
I like Rick.
Meanwhile, a child at a tennis tournament in Cincinnati caused a little bit of an issue for Emma Raducanu.
It's been like 10 minutes. It's a child. Do you want me to send the child out of the stadium?
No. There was a child that was screaming for about 5 to 10 minutes, and Emma was like, can we do something about this? And the chair umpire asked, "What do you want me to kick her out of the stadium?" You could hear some of the people in the crowd go, "Yes, yeah, get him out."
So there was a conversation this morning in the Green Zone Lounge. Not that we need to rehash it too much, but it was about whether or not kids should be allowed at sporting events. And I think the better question is, should parents that shouldn't be parents be allowed at sporting events?
Now, some people might say, Emma, just, you know, suck it up. You can serve while a kid is crying.
No, take your kid. Your kid is losing its mind.
You didn't let
take
me finish my point. I was literally about to say, or the parent whose kid's been crying for 5 to 10 minutes can have the wherewithal. Let's go for a little bit of a walk. We're at a tennis tournament.
What is wrong with people?
You're supposed to be quiet.
What is wrong with people these days?
Selfish. That's what it is.
Oh.
We were very selfish. We found this out in recent memory.
Yeah, let's move on.
What? I didn't say anything specifically. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. The Riders back to practice. Pads were on today. Head coach Corey Mace admits, might have had something to do with a little, slow start after the bye week last time. Their only loss of the season came after a bye week against the Stampeders. Don't want a repeat of that. So a little more intense practice on day one. Get ready for Hamilton. The Blue Jays back at it tonight. They take on the Cubbies. And, of course, the big game in Saskatoon. The Berries against the Regina Red Sox. Winner tonight moves on to the League Championship Series. First pitch, 7 o'clock at Cairns Field in Saskatoon. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, let's get you up to date on the green and white with our Green Zone Rider reporter, Britton Gray, on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Coming up right now, somebody else who was watching on the Taylor Swift website, the countdown to 10:12 Saskatchewan time, our very own Britton Gray.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
No?
I am not.
You weren't counting down last night?
No.
Really?
No, I'm good, man.
I'm curious.
Taylor Swift.
Is this a sports story?
It is, in the fact that it's related that they used the sports podcast to announce a Taylor Swift album. Who would have thought?
I didn't see that coming at all, to be honest. I didn't think that she'd use Travis's podcast to announce the album. Like, are the Kelce brothers hurting for views right now on the New Heights podcast?
I don't think they are. I think they're doing okay.
I thought so.
My theory is, I think that we are going to get a Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce engagement announcement because they are melding the partnerships. The businesses have now fully intertwined. It might.
Do you want to put it on the board tomorrow? No, during the New Heights podcast, we're going to find out Travis and
I'm not
Taylor
guaranteeing
are
anything.
Engaged?
I'm not guaranteeing anything, but my conspiracy theory had because they have now meshed the businesses intertwined to a level that we haven't really seen.
And I really hope
if
we continue to
married,
talk about this.
If they get married, will it be bigger than a royal wedding? Will it be bigger than, who's the last royal wedding? I guess it would have been Will and Kate.
Yeah, it would have been Will, yeah. Did Prince Charles officially get married to?
Nobody really got too revved up about that.
Excited about that.
See, I thought we moved off of Taylor Swift. I thought Chapel Roan is now the big one that we're all...
All for Saskatchewan.
For Saskatchewan.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She has to play Mosaic Stadium. She's in a song. She says she's moving to Saskatchewan. So
is she big enough for Mosaic?
I think so. I think
Do you?
Could.
I don't know.
Oh.
You're looking at me like I just
so.
Removed my pants.
I would not have that same reaction.
Really?
If that happened, no. But
what is the Mosaic?
capacity.
Well, for a concert, I think it's 40.
I think they get up to 40, I think. I'd have to look back. It's been a long time since we've had a Mosaic Stadium concert.
She's not a 40 show.
How many times do I have to criticize the city of Regina in a month? We can go downtown construction. On JB earlier, I talked about the fact they can build $300 million indoor pool, but you're going to go, well, do we want to spend, you know, 80 or so on a new roof? Baseball facility? But anyway, do you want me to get started on the lack of concerts at the multi-purpose stadium they spent $300 million on?
Yeah.
Anyways, what we do know, there's going to be 30,000 plus.
Last time you called up Chad, did anything come of that on the Luke Wilson thing?
No, I got a lot of support, and I know that. But, Breton, we're gearing up. I know it's midway point of the season, a lot of games ahead, but this has all the makings of a dandy football game on Saturday, doesn't it, between the Tiger Cats and the Rough Riders?
Boy, does it. Not only do you have two teams that are playing really well right now heading into this, but two of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. I mean, Bo Levi Mitchell, I don't know if they've played 8 or 9 games, but he's on pace to throw over 40 touchdowns this season or right around there. He is playing lights out. Trevor Harris being the most efficient quarterback in the CFL with how he runs the offense. It feels like it's going to be a great game. Not saying Grey Cup preview. The Hamilton defense really worries me, but right now these are two of the top teams in the CFL.
So back to that, because this is going to be the conversation that we have a little bit later on. Is Bo or Trevor your MLP if we're handing it out right now?
It's Bo Levi Mitchell right now. I lean Bo because 21 touchdowns. That is something through this point of the season. He has the eye-popping stats. The wins are there this year. That was what held Bo back last year, was the wins weren't there. He has the stats. He has the wins. And he also kind of has the narrative around him, right? NFL MVP, CFL MLP, sometimes the narrative helps push a guy. And right now the Bo resurgence narrative helps his case in terms of that voting there.
Trevor's got a better all-round team around him too, which might give him a bit of an odd, no?
James? Well, that's what Rick kind of said. Yeah. Like Trevor's team around, like the defense and where Bo has to put up these numbers to keep the Tiger Cats.
Trevor Harris doesn't have Kenny Lawler to throw the football to. Love what I'm seeing from Keyshawn Johnson and Dante Myers, but Kenny Lawler is an all-world talent at this receiver position.
Don't leave found money out. Don't leave found money out.
Joe Robustelli. Of course, Bo leads in completions. He leads in yards. He leads in touchdowns. He leads the league in interception ratio and leads the league in 7 300-yard passing games, which is, how many does Trevor have? Two. Trevor has 2 300-yard games. Wins is where Trevor gets it back, and efficiency rating.
How far back is Nathan?
For wins or yards?
Just in this conversation.
He's leading Trevor in yards. He's just under Trevor in touchdown passes. No, I'm not. Nathan Rourke's out of the conversation.
Okay.
Sorry.
With Trevor, I think what gives him a boost also is what he's done with the different receivers around him. Bo's magic. Mm-hmm. That receiver room has been healthy for the most part. What impresses me most about Trevor Harris is that it hasn't mattered who's been in there. He finds the receiver. So you're not maybe going to have as many 400-yard games, but efficiency and just accuracy, it's off the charts with Trevor Harris right now.
So we'll have that debate 4:35 if you want to weigh in, Trevor or Bo for MLP. Or maybe you want to go with Vernon Adams Jr. Some people might have put Kenny Lawler at the top of that list a few weeks ago with the season he's having.
He's not getting the ball as much the last couple of games, though, right?
No.
I was one of those guys. I thought Kenny Lawler was having the MOP season you need to have if a receiver will win that reward.
Well, during that 6-game stretch, I mean, if you were watching highlights of the Ticats games, you were seeing a Kenny Lawler cat. Every time.
Let's get to practice today for the green and white, Britain. Pads were on. Right away, I was like, oh, that has got to be a reply to them coming out a little slow against the Stampeders. Their only loss was after their first bye week of the season. Now they might have learned from that week getting ready for Calgary.
Yeah, it was nice to see that. A little bit of one-on-ones. You saw the offensive line go against the defensive line for a period. It's not like these guys are out there hitting each other, really laying the booms, but a little bit of contact. I think it kind of, Corey Macy mentioned it when I asked him. It's a little bit of a response to that. You don't let other teams dictate how you approach things, sure, but a bit of a response to that. And I think it'll just give this team that wake up, especially at this point in the season. You're getting into the middle of the season. And you got a long way to go. You've already played a lot of games. You're coming off a bye. Get that wake up. Have them wake up right away and go really respond to a Hamilton team that, now that they've lost last week, a little bit more concerned about them because now they want to bounce back. They have to go out and fix their mistakes. Meanwhile, if you're the Riders, you can kind of, not saying they will, but you see teams all the time do this. 7-1, we're pretty good right now. And then all of a sudden they put up one of those games that you just toss in the trash, as some teams do.
So the Riders are coming off the bye week. They were healthy coming out of Montreal, coming back home. And now I think the question mark would be some of those longer-term injuries that we've been sitting there watching, especially on the receiving core. Has there been any sort of questions answered based on what you saw today at practice?
No. Nothing new. No one's working on the sidelines. Okay. Didn't even see anyone. Daniel Johnson has at least returned to a limited capacity to practice. That's good to see, though. They really like what Peyton Collins had. I know people are wondering, Sean Vane Jr., getting a lot. In theory, not saying they will because they really like Peyton Collins, if they really wanted to put Sean Vane Jr. out there again, if Daniel Johnson gets healthy, that's how you can kind of flip the ratio once more. But I think they're content with this receiver room. Sean Vane Jr., you have to wait and see. I know that there's this thing that no one can lose their job due to injury. That's false. That is a lie. People lose their job. Cody Fajardo got his job in Saskatchewan because Zach Collaros got hurt. People lose their jobs to injury all the time. It feels like that's what happened right now because other guys have stepped up in big ways for this team.
Yeah, and it's been interesting at that left tackle spot. I think everybody who's played there at the start have all been new starters to the Canadian Football League. It was Peyton Collins. It was Daniel Johnson. And Washington came in after a month being in the Canadian. That's at the blind side, so to speak, for the Riders.
Go back to last season. Trevor Reed was newcomer to the CFL. The So they're finding ways. This offensive line continues to just plug guys in, and boy, do they ever answer the call.
All right, sell out this weekend. What are your thoughts? You joining me on the board?
I think they will sell. I'm not going to dye my hair, my beard blonde or anything. Like,
oh, I was
going to
say black. I'm like, no, beard's pretty dark.
Very
right
dark
now.
Already. I'm not doing blonde or anything, but I don't want to see you with a jet black goatee.
No?
No, I'm okay. Good, man.
You don't?
I'm good. I'm fine. So I'm hoping for a sellout.
Well, it's tracking the right direction. About 2,000
tickets today,
left.
Right?
Like, it was around 3,000 yesterday. Yeah. Seems like it's about 2,000-ish.
Let's go.
Today.
I think the afternoon game helps, right? That people can come in, drive in the morning. You get home at a reasonable time. I think that's really helping out a Saturday afternoon game.
Winning kind of helps.
Oh, winning. Big part.
Yeah. I could have something to do with it.
Got decent weather for Saturday. What are you doing? Get off your wallet. Let's go. Let's go, Riders Nation.
So if they sell out this one and already Labor Day's sold out, that'll be two in a row for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in sellouts. Of course, they always sell out Labor Day, but a regular season game, nice to see. Wins do matter, apparently, for marketing sports. That is Britton Gray, Green Zone Rider Reporter. He'll be back a little bit later on, and also we'll be debating Bo or Trevor, who's the MOP at the midpoint of the CFL season?
Well, somebody else, too. Have you got another? Are we missing somebody? Is it not Bo? Is it not Trevor?
The Calgary Stampeders, when Vernon Adams Jr. starts and finishes games, I believe they are 6-1.
Huh.
And he's missed a little bit more time, not much more time than Trevor has. His numbers would be right up there as well. He'd be my number three. I think it's between Bo and Trevor right now. Vernon Adams would be number three. I know some people want to put Nathan Rourke up there, but those are the Nathan Rourke truthers who will give him the MOP even if he's made.
Got to put Kenny Lawler.
I was going
in the
to say, I think some people already have their MOP vote filled in with Nathan Rourke nothing's changing their mind.
Most outstanding Canadian, might as well just give him the trophy at the start of each and every season. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Clap for the Wolfman. He gon' rate your record.
Well, we were talking about how great a week it was in Week 10 for the Canadian Football League with the entertainment value.
Yeah.
And today the Canadian Football League came out with some facts on...
Seems to have translated in viewership, Jamie and I.
Well, overall, it was the largest broadcast of the year for TSN/RDS. The Edmonton Elks-Montreal Alouettes game had 835,000 average audience. And then over the four games, 668,000. That's the average over the four games per game.
And that surprised me. The Elks Alouettes was the big game out of the other.
Well, you get
four.
RDS numbers added into that one.
Yeah. But the Lions and the Ticats, that was the marquee matchup last week. No,
all four CFL games were the most watched broadcasts on TSN's network. All four, one through four. When you go the most watched last week on TSN. Programming, one through four, all the CFL games last week. Of course, 67 points per game, 18 lead changes, four return touchdowns.
Great finish. Every game had a fantastic finish.
Every game finished in the last minute.
That Lions and Ticats game went into OT.
All good things. So I'm going to bring up Luke Wilson again because it goes back to his hot garbage comment. And his big thing was preparation for the football players. That was his big takeaway. There's not enough prep. Players and teams need more time to refine their art and this craft of football. They're not getting enough time to prep.
Not in the preseason and then during the weeks as well leading up to the
And I think
games.
This is proof that now they're at the point where they're refining their offenses and their defenses, and here we are in week 10.
Just past the halfway point.
They're starting to click along.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Luke Wilson is saying. Put that at the start of the season with a maybe longer training camp or some mini camps in the off season, and you can get that product refined to start earlier and not have hot garbage football games in the first couple of weeks. They got enough money to pull it off.
It's all money.
I think it's there, or at least coming back. Time now for the Green Zone, 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. Cairns Field, Saskatoon is the place to be tonight. The Saskatoon buries the Regina Red Sox, the third and deciding game in the East Division. A final winner moves on to take on Sylvan Lake in the WCBL Championship Series. The Berries tied up that series at 1 with an 8-4 win in Regina last night. The Rough Riders back to practice. The injury report was not really changed much from going into the bye week, although Daniel Johnson, the Canadian offensive lineman, was a limited participant in practice today. And the Blue Jays back at it tonight. They're at home against the Chicago Cubs. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, after falling down the draft and being a little embarrassed by that fall, and it played out live on his brother's Twitch stream, is Shedeur Sanders about to be the starting quarterback to begin the season after a very impressive preseason debut? We'll go to Cleveland next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.